Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to The Talk, talk radio for the masses, here on WTBR FM 89.7. And now, let's talk.
Never turns it down.
Talking about now we'll talk.
Now we can talk.
Yep. We'll talk, and we can talk about a lot of things.
Good morning.
We are here. It's Wednesday. You know what that means.
Time for the talk in AEW, of course. And
our continuing saga up until Halloween.
The continuing story.
Of all the haunted places that we have.
And also haunted places just in general around the United States sometimes.
Yes.
Yes.
Because so we kind of branch out a little bit.
Kind of branch out. So really quick, catch up on AEW here.
My,
Jade Cargill is WWE bound.
I know.
Which they're not going to use her because they have no clue what they do, what to do with the women's division.
Because
they don't even use their own women's division. They give them like 3-4 minutes tops. That's about it. I'm not even getting.
She's supposed to be reporting to. I guess they'll put her on NXT. She'll find out.
She'll head back.
They're sending her to the Performance Center, yeah.
Please.
And breaking news that next year, by 2024, all the AEW will have 12 pay-per-views a year.
Nice.
And they'll be on HBO Max.
Nice.
Yay.
And WWE, we talked about this, is stealing stuff from AEW, not because they want to come out with a Trios Championship.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's blatant stealing. You're coming up with a Trios Championship. And the thing is, AEW has had it for, almost a year? Almost 2 years? Now with the Trios Championship?
Yeah.
Because of, the Acclaim and... Mm-hmm. Billy Gunn, and you also have, the House of Black and everything. So that's another Trios. And when it started, it was Death Triangle and the Elite is what started the fact of them having the Trios Championship. Because it was the Best of Seven series that the Elite had with Death Triangle.
Right now it's going to be the Young Bucks and Hangman.
Yeah, Young Bucks and Hangman. Going against the Mogul Embassy for ROH's Trios Championships.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right, so in our continuing series up until Halloween.
Yeah, and also another thing they wanted to put in there. They're thinking about putting in weight classes.
Yeah, they tried that once.
They're thinking about bringing that back because
world heavyweight champion. Yeah, because light of heavyweight the UFC. Champion. Yeah, of course. So in our continuing series about haunted places up until Halloween, what have we got this week to put out on the radio?
Yes.
What we have is the story of no other than one of Massachusetts' own crazy lady, Miss Lizzie Borden.
Oh, cool. Or she doesn't like to be called Lizzie, so Elizabeth.
Well, she's
dead. I don't care. She's dead.
She's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
She ain't gonna come back and haunt me.
You never know.
I'm just sage.
I know the lights have been flickering since we came on the air, so.
She's telling, the thing is paranormal experts have gotten information that she prefers to be called Elizabeth.
Yeah, I know. She didn't like it.
She didn't like Lizzie.
Yeah, well. I know. She.
Well, you know, really quick, the lights have been flickering since we came on the air. So you never know what's going to happen
here.
You never
know.
Go, we'll not argue about the names. Go ahead and do your thing
here.
Okay. So it was in 1893 that Lizzie Borden was tried, was called the Trial of the Century. For the horror details both of her father and stepmother. They were found in the homes, victim of multiple hatchet wounds to the skulls. The murder took place on August 4th of 1892. Mrs. Borden was the first to be killed. The first blow was on the side of her face and then continued to hack her skull for 17 more times. Her name was Abby.
That's horrible.
Yep, her name was Abby. Abby was believed to be killed between the hours of 9 and 11 a.m. And then Mr. Borden had returned
from... Oh, that's cool. I'll have bacon and eggs and... what the heck?
So...
That's some scary stuff right there.
Exactly. So Mr. Borden returned after doing his runs around town.
Yeah.
He returned to go ahead and he was decided to relax for the day on the family sofa. And so when he did, he laid, you would say from, it was according, it was supposed to be left to right as he laid on the couch.
Yeah.
And so he would have been, if the person would have attacked him from behind, he didn't see the person who attacked him.
He didn't see the person behind him.
No, he did not. So unfortunately, he was brutally attacked. And when he was attacked, here's the gruesome part about it. Okay. And they surround, they says, he was on the first floor where he would never had woken from the killings. Okay. He was... he received 10 to 11 blows to his face. His eyeball was hanging on his cheek.
Yeah, that was somebody that was helping on.
And the worst part was is, you know, they turn and they says he was unrecognizable.
Yeah, and then somebody had a lot of anger.
Yeah, it was anger or rage at the time of the incident. So, yeah, it was pretty graphic, they said. And at the time, during this, they turned around, they said that Lizzie was the one that apparently had noticed everything. She made aware, and then the police were called into the home. She was reported to be acting strangely as they questioned her.
I'd be acting strangely too. My parents were killed with a hatchet. I would be freaking out.
They said
out.
She was calmly strange. She was calm about it.
Some people go ahead and how they are. Some people are straightforward and have a lot of anger and rage.
Exactly.
Some, under pressure, they remain calm, and then they blow up later.
Exactly. So, there were several other family members that were supposedly also questioned. There was an uncle of John Moore's, Lizzie and Emma's uncle. He was looked at as a person of interest, but also was dismissed. They found nothing. And also the family's servant, Bright Sylvian, was looked at, but she was also dismissed and passed over. They said also there was a stranger, an unknown stranger, but they never were able to locate the stranger. So once again, that was overlooked. So they went back to Lizzie as the person of, once again, of interest in the whole thing. In other words, they were out to look for someone to blame.
Yeah. They're out for a reason. They're out to look for a reason.
Exactly.
To say, yeah, Lizzie did it. And
exactly.
I should say Elizabeth did it.
Okay. So anyway, as they turned around, they said Elizabeth and Emma both, they turned around, they said both inherited the family's place. They turned around, they said that Liz was, she was acquitted from all the murders and everything. They had everything, it was so graphic. They said that every time you picked up the paper, the details were the most horrible things you ever
wanted
to read.
They were gut-wrenching.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was absolutely, I mean, you sat there and you knew all the horrible, gross details. Then they had photos. They literally, back then, didn't care in...
printed the photos.
They
and
opened
everything.
Up and put, they're going around the whole thing. Now only the juries see the evidence
of
the killings.
Yeah, the jury and...
Now, they literally opened it and the whole gallery seen all these photos and everything. Mm. I mean, it was just...
That's insane.
Yeah, times have changed. And they turned around and they said that after Lizzie and she and Emma had gone ahead and everything was over, Liz and Emma had inherited the Borden, the entire estate of $265,000. Which was a lot of money. Now, my thing is, I'm sorry, but I think there might have been a reason for it. And I just saying, I mean, give me a break. The boys did it in California. What do you guys think?
The Menendez brothers.
Yeah, the Esmond brothers.
You mean the Menendez.
Menendez, whatever. They did it.
Menendez.
They did it for greed. What do you think?
So what did they do when they went into the house? Because we're actually talking about hauntings and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened was is they continued. So far, the investigators that have gone ahead and gone into the house have been exactly of the ghost hunters and the ghost adventurers. Now, when the ghost adventurers went in, they brought in themselves a medium, and they also did a seance in there. Now, unfortunately, when the seance people went in there, they asked some very interesting details. They also believe possibility that Elizabeth, we'll call her that since she likes it better, also had a problem with her father. They believe that there was a sexual thing going on with Elizabeth and the father.
Oh, dear Lord.
They
That's horrible.
Asked that question, and she said yes.
Yeah, because there was rumors about that, yeah.
Yes, there was. There was rumors, and she kept saying yes, yes. And she... also turned around, they asked her if she did do the killing, and she said no. Does she know the killer? Yes.
Yeah. It was also another rumor that it wasn't Lizzie that did it.
No, it wasn't.
It was the sister.
Yeah. They believe
and
that
she
what
didn't
it was
want to rat out her sister.
She didn't want to, so she took the brunt of it.
Of the blame.
Yeah. She was more likely of the one to hold her composure and her coolness and be the one to do it. But yeah, to this day, the house is haunted by the father. He's the spectrum that walks around.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's fun.
There is voices of arguments and yelling. You can hear his voice and you can hear her turn around and saying, go, go. And she's not comfortable in the house, so.
How do they know it's her?
They've asked her. They were in the middle of a seance. And only certain things that you asked the spirit, and she did comply that, yes, it was her. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, this would be Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It is also it's also a bed and breakfast.
Yes.
So if you want
the actual house is a bed and breakfast.
Yes, it is. It's a bed and breakfast. And there are comment and jokes when you go in there. There is a hatchet that is turned and on it is inscribed "Welcome" across it. They literally go ahead and give, and there's a beautiful bed and breakfast. You are possibility more so to be grabbed on your legs while you're sleeping. You're also nudged to get out of the bed that you're sleeping, because the bed that you're sleeping in belonged to her
mother and father.
Belonged to Mrs. Abby Borden and the husband. I wouldn't want anyone sleeping in my bed. Get the out of the bed.
It's like, what's the hotel that Stephen King wrote Carrie in?
I got it right here.
It wasn't Carrie, dear.
Isn't that haunted
too? It was not Carrie. It was Shining. Yeah, and that would be the Stanley Hotel.
Isn't that where he wrote?
Yes. That's where he got the inspiration. And this right here
is
where he got the inspiration, the Stanley Hotel.
Do that. Are you caught up with...
Yes, and you'd be quite surprised.
Oh, don't go there. Don't go there. The trial was so notorious that there was actually a hopscotch song.
Yes, there was a hopscotch song. Go ahead.
Is it rated G?
Yes. Lizzie Borden grabbed an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she'd seen what she had done, she gave her father 41.
And it's an ongoing hopscotch song.
It is a continuing hopscotch song to this day.
The thing is,
little kids were running around during the trial and singing this.
It's like from
the just to torment her.
To torment her. And the worst part is while she was living there, this is another thing, she was still tormented.
That's like
by children who would sing this song.
That's like the one for the Freddy movie. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
Yes.
3, 4, better lock the door. 5, 6, get your crucifix. 7, 8, better stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again.
Yes. Oh, dear
God. They turn on, they said that, unfortunately, she's there quite a lot. I mean, she knocks things over. She gets very agitated. So, yeah.
Okay. So, from Lizzie Borden's house.
And apparently she throws things if you call her Lizzie.
And it's a bed and breakfast.
Yes.
Remind me never to book it. If I'm looking for bed and breakfast, take that off the list.
Yeah.
To Fall River.
and the whole thing is like I told you, the staff has actually got a real hatchet, workable killing hatchet.
Well, all hatchets are workable and killing.
What they're saying is a real blade.
It's a real blade.
Is it?
They have the real sharpened blade.
Is this the actual one?
They're
claiming it is, and they keep it sharpened.
Yeah. There is an old workable stove that's there in the kitchen.
The old pellet stove.
And there is the old, an identical to the couch that they had, totally. Everything that is in the house is exactly as it was.
No change, no nothing
to it. No change, no nothing. The floors are the same that have endured all
carpeting
the blood.
Carpeting same, floors the same.
Carpets have been done, steam cleaned, done. And it's pretty, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on.
Yeah, it's definitely not a place
for Lizzie Borden.
It's definitely not a B&B place to go.
Yeah, we go from Lizzie Borden to the hotel that Stephen King wrote The Shining in.
Yes, in Esther Park, Colorado.
I thought it was Maine.
It's Esther Park, Colorado. It was Colorado. He had gone to the Stanley Hotel with his wife and his kids for a vacation. They wanted to get out of Maine for a couple days and everything. It was after all his success with Carrie and Cujo and everything. And just a regular, normal vacation, goes ahead, checks in to the hotel. Okay, cool, no problem. Nobody decided to tell him it was haunted. Goes in, puts all his stuff there. Okay, cool. Puts all of his shaving cream stuff on the counter. It gets pushed on, because it's cluttered, it gets pushed off. Completely put, and goes to town, goes to his wife Tabby. Asks Tabby, did you go ahead and move my stuff? No. I didn't touch your stuff. Okay. Sets it back up in a corner. All of it gets pushed again. He sits there and goes, okay. I'm thinking Tabby was angry with him, etc. Okay, fine, cool. I'll fix it, set it up. It took him having to fix it and set it up correctly and not clutter it for it to be fine and left alone. Not a problem. Goes to bed about 3-4 in the morning. He goes in, he hears children laughing on his landing. He was up on 4th floor. Again, cool, no problem, thinking, you know. Goes in and goes down to the lobby. Tells the manager, I hear kids playing on my landing at 4 o'clock in the morning. He opened up the door, noticed no kids were there. Says there, the manager goes to him, Mr. King, there is nobody on your landing. It's just you and your wife, because for your privacy. But I swear I heard kids. There's no kids except yours. And he had his 3 kids. There are no children except yours. Were your children outside in the hallway? No, they were asleep in bed. Manager sits there and goes to him, I'm sorry, Mr. King, you have been visited by our resident ghost. He went ahead and quickly packed up his stuff and left. I'm not kidding. Went ahead and packed up his stuff. Thank you for the vacation. We gotta go. Bye. Not even kidding. And the thing is, it was made in 1909 by the inventor of F.O. Stanley, and Stanley Steamer, and Stanley Steamer Corporation. Yes, that Stanley.
You clean your carpets for 1999.
Yes,
that Stanley.
That inventor, he had built the hotel actually as a way to cure tuberculosis.
Exactly.
Because of the open mountain air, it's clean, fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll help you feel better. There was some deaths there. And anyway, they kept it open, and so he decided to use it as a regular hotel. There has been a whole bunch of different... There is a humming spirit named Lucy. She patrols the concert hall.
Okay.
She will hum to the music being played in the concert hall, mostly piano.
Yes.
Excuse me. There is another one called Paul. He is the former maintenance man that passed away in the hotel. Mm-hmm. He still enforces the hotel's strict curfew at 11 p.m. and will literally tell any adult that they're up past the curfew and tells them to get out and go to their room. Literally yells to them, get out, go to your room. Which is kind of weird. It doesn't do it to the children. Ghosts that like to play at 4 a.m., but he'll yell to the adults. Go figure.
Burn some sage.
There's another one called Eddie. He's known for touching the female visitor's
previously
hair.
Previously portrayed by Meatloaf.
Not that kind of Eddie.
Oh.
He will touch them, he will stroke their hair, touch their hair, touch their cheeks. And you'll hear him, and you'll hear a whisper in your ear, if you're a woman, have a wonderful night. The only problem is the dude was known for his horrible body odor.
Yes.
And you could smell the smell of body odor with nobody being around you, if you're a woman.
Luke.
There are several things that you smell. One is the is because of the owner. You smell cigar smoke,
and bourbon whiskey. You smell that.
Actually, you would smell that in the billiards room.
That is labeled as smoking in the drinking room.
Exactly.
You'd hear the piano playing, and you'd smell perfume. That'd be because of Lucy.
Lavender.
Lavender.
And the sky with diamonds? Oh, that's a separate show. I'm sorry.
No, that's a separate show, dude. And, of course, she would smell Eddie. You'd smell Eddie's body.
Yeah, they said that the horrible, disgusting smells that you would smell in the hallways or walking was enough to make you sick.
Yeah. Apparently, the dude didn't know what soap was. Just saying.
Yeah.
And they also had a paranormal investigator that lived on site. Apparently she quit her job. Apparently she quit because it was becoming too much for her.
Yeah, you figure...
As known as a Disneyland for spirits.
All these things happening and nobody brings any sage with them.
Yes.
I would be packing sage. Here you go. Smudging every room in that hotel. All right, we got about 2 minutes.
Okay. And of course, it's been...
So you might want to wrap this up.
And of course, it's been visited and everything by the ghost hunters. But yes, it was the inspiration.
And ghost adventures.
It was the inspiration for the 1977 book, The Shining.
Which he was writing at the time.
No, he wasn't even writing. He was... taking a vacation to get inspiration for it.
That's right.
And because of his own personal haunting, and then he looked into the history of the place afterwards, and after that he used it as inspiration for...
the entire movie.
The Shining.
All right, real quick. Hayden Christensen!
Yes.
Anakin Skywalker made his appearance on Ahsoka. If we go back to the Clone Wars.
Yes.
And David Filoni did so well because as he was walking out, you could see the shadow of Darth Vader. First he has his blue lightsaber and then he has the red lightsaber. And Hayden is in his 40s.
Yes.
And he's aging like fine wine.
Yes. I got to give it to the man.
And
he
everybody on social media is going goo-goo and gaga because they want to see live action Clone Wars, because they pretty much started that.
Pretty much, yeah.
When Hayden brought Ahsoka back to her Padawan days when she was young during the Clone Wars.
Yeah, she was about 16, 17.
So episode 5 of Ahsoka, running on Disney Plus.
Yes.
You can see Hayden Christensen. He's all over. It's funny how they... We gotta go. It's funny how... Too many things going on. Really quick, it's funny how they trashed him during the Star Wars prequels.
Yes.
But now he's the end-all, be-all of the Star Wars franchise.
Exactly.
We will be back, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Next week.
Yes. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Take care.